You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic.
I'm Cameron Lolana.
And I'm Matt Garasimovich.
And today we're covering part two, chapter 24, Vasily Grossman's life and fate, covering the Shaposhnikovs family, or rather, not all of them, covering Victor, Ludmilla, and Nadia as they return to Moscow, bright, beautiful Moscow, as this point in the war has turned such that it feels right to come back at this time. And they come to find out that it's not everything they're imagining when they were in Kazan. Is there anywhere in this very loving and very problem-free family that you'd like to begin?
Well, I like the fact that the narrator says there was no obvious sign that the war had reached a turning point, but everyone just kind of wanted to return back anyways. So I thought that was a good start. You know, those moments in history where people just decide, we're good. We'll go back to what we were doing before.
Right.
Not that we've had any of those recently in our history, but yeah.
I can't think of any.
Yeah. I like how this chapter is, or part of it sort of just spent on Victor kind of waxing poetic about how the streets look dirty because no one's there to clean them. And he says, just think how many great capitals have succumbed to dust, snow, and couch grass. And he's just kind of getting dunked on by Nadia this whole time, which is pretty funny. And he's angry.
I love that her follow-up to that is like, oh, they just haven't taken the snow off the streets to head. <That's
funny. laughs> Yeah. Yeah, and then he spends the rest of the train ride he's very irritable on his return. Well, in general, but also on the return, especially on the return that Nadia's not saving enough food for her mother and that Ludmilla is just, I mean, just lost in thought perpetually or snoring too loud. And he just feels so miserable in this chapter. Mm-hmm. That's what I kind of glean from him.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got from here. Just the continuing of the troubled family, Victor especially. I mean, with Ludmilla, we obviously get that her kind of almost absence from this chapter ending on, again, speaking to Tolia. And then you also have, like you said, as you're saying, Victor just mad, irritable, looking offended at everything around him. People offended with him, Nadia getting on him. And him wondering about all the people he knows in Moscow who, when he gets there, after thinking about Chapishian and Gurevich, you know, he gets there and tries to call them and no one's there. He's very alone in a lot of ways, despite knowing so many people. I mean, it's more, it feels like this place he is in his life, even he's not objectively alone. He knows many people, but they're just not there.
It's also I feel like he's just very good at pushing everybody away.
That's true. Yeah.
I think he has this sort of victim complex in some ways where he's just kind of perpetually upset that no one's thinking about him and reaching out to him. And it's just, you know, this chapter sort of is this return to these somewhat strange and a lot of times petty Moscow power dynamics. Mm. And what he doesn't seem to realize or have much appreciation for is the fact that his family is extremely well off, to the point that everybody that interacts with them is like, this whole apartment is just for you guys. Like, like every single person that they interact with, even the people in his lab, like their families, like there's passive aggressive comments made about the relative size of their apartments. And he just doesn't really get it. It's like, why does nobody want to hang out and talk about politics and drink with me? We should have him on the podcast.
He's truly the third member of this trio. I like how we go from I love this contradiction between Stalingrad, where things are really not great. Where's one of the worst days in Stalingrad, and then you come to and the Shaposhnikov seem felt like it was time to go back. Not only them, of course, many others are returning along with them. But you know, as many people are dying in Stalingrad, Victor is annoyed that Nadia's eating the best looking biscuits on the train, right? Just to kind of reiterate your point. But yeah, I felt like that was my main takeaway from this chapter.
I just Victor is so infuriating for me in this chapter. The fact that he's, flirting with Sokolov's wife, and he has, so at the same time he's doing that, he's thinking about his own wife, that she was extraordinarily active that day. Victor thought that if she had deployed this energy at the front, the Germans would already have retreated at least 100 kilometers from Moscow, which is really just such a thing to think.
Right.
Especially when the chapter sort of ends on Ludmila talking to her dead son about how she's cleaned her room, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just not the chapter for the Victor stands in the
Yeah,
audience.
no, I do appreciate. I kind of mentioned this previously. I don't know if this was in a daily or in our long episode, but we have so many of these kind of stalwart, upright characters that were like kind of the moral centers of Stalingrad, who in this book are, I think, very intentionally not Krimov. Victor is very complex in that regard because he used to explore a lot of stuff, but he's definitely not as upright as it was. You can see that in smaller ways for characters like Vera, who, things that were inarguably good about them or that they are represented in Stalingrad are no longer quite so idealized in this novel, like a general trend we're seeing.
Yeah, and just, the victor of it all.
Yeah, and in the ways that these people talk among themselves and yet don't understand, perhaps we can find much of the tragedy of the 21st century and their
Oh,
inability to understand themselves.
just perhaps we can.
Just
Just
perhaps.
perhaps.
Well, in that case, we'll leave you with that tragedy, and we see you will all hear from us again soon.
Hey, 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 hey.